So if you want to turn in your Bibles, if you've got them, to Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, the heading for this morning is faith, faith. And this is the last week that we're going to be looking at Hebrews together. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Tony, do you want to go and sit down? Is that all right? Thanks. Do it later. So, so faith. So if you want to get it, I'm going to just give you a few highlights from it. So just have it before you, and I'm just going to read through. So Hebrews 11, let's just pray together. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you that it inspires and it helps. Challenges, changes. It lifts our minds and our spirits, and it convicts our hearts and draws us to repentance and change. So we just pray as we come to your word this morning. We just want your Holy Spirit to just be active, very active within us as we consider these words together. So take the words of my mouth, take the meditations of my heart, take my hopes, my dreams, my desires for this word, and let it be a word to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, I've really enjoyed going through the letter to the Hebrews. It's been a good time to do that. And there's one of those rich books, isn't there, that you have to go back to again and again and again. And it's been good to revisit some of those themes and to kind of for the Lord to really highlight some of them. But we're coming into land on it now over the next week or so. And we're coming to Hebrews 11 and 12. And as I said, we're going to look at 11 today and 12 in this week at Word on Wednesday. So I'm going to read the first verse, and then I'm going to fly through and just read snippets of it, because we really will be here all day otherwise. So verse 11 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Let me read that again. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. "By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command." I love that. We're in there. We're in this, aren't we? This hero's gallery. This is by faith, we. We understand that the universe was formed at God's command. "By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their faith. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons and worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was near the end of his, when the end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And then at the end there it says, I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what they'd been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. We could spend weeks on that, couldn't we? But I just kind of look at it, I guess quite simply really, but in the context of where we find ourselves at this time as a church. There's a phrase, not in there, but it's a phrase that's been coming up, and I want to use it quite significantly today. I've been listening to a series of podcasts, and it's a guy speaking on the early chapters of Joshua. And this phrase that he uses, I want to talk about today, and I want to put it before us at this time. Because I think this is quite timely. I set this series up months ago. You know, and that title for today was put in place months ago, way before we knew that what we were facing as a church and the faith that we are going to need to have in this moment, way before that. And so I think there's something very timely about this moment and timely about this word. I've been listening to these podcasts, and the phrase comes from Joshua 1. Graham, you're going to put that up on the screen for me. So let me just read to you. The Israelites were emerging from their wilderness, and they were getting ready to enter the land that had been promised to them. And we read these verses right at the beginning of Joshua, just the first four verses. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise." I like that word. It's a good word, isn't it? "Now arise. Cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving you, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your footsteps I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun will be your territory." As far as. That is the phrase I want us to keep in mind today. As far as. You know, the Israelites were being promised what was way beyond their experience. All that generation had known was wilderness. Yet they were being promised a land, a home, a place. And God says to them, this is how big it's going to be. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun. This is going to be your territory, as far as. Now at this point, what's the one thing they were going to need more than anything else? Faith. Because it's only by faith that we can take hold of the as far as. Faith being what? Faith being confidence that that what we hope for will actually happen. This is from the New Living Version. Faith being the confidence that we hope for will actually, what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. God had presented to them there as far as. They just had to step into it. They had to step into it. What we can say about our as far as is that whenever we have to take that step into it, it will always take us beyond the place we're at now. Yeah? There's a few passages from the Bible that confirm that we can think this way. If we're going to step into the as far as of God, it will always take us beyond where we're at now. Ephesians 3, verses 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do what? Immeasurably more. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I love the parable of the talents. Jesus there in Matthew 25 highlights that God commends and rewards those who invest what is placed in their hands and in their hearts, with all the risk and the effort that goes with that, to see the kingdom of God grow and increase its influence and impact. Go back to Ephesians 3 and then 19. Paul prays for the believers. He says that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you, and this is the bit, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I want to know more and more and more and more what it means to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. There are so many more passages that kind of encourage us and challenge us and say that we should have our own as far as. Passages that talk about the lavishness of his love, the extent of his grace, the multitude of his promises, the unceasing nature of his goodness and his faithfulness to us. This is our as far as. We want to step into these things, don't we? To a greater understanding, experience, and knowledge of them. You know, as we start to explore them, as we start to seek them, what happens? It gives us a hunger. We're hungry to know more of God in us and through us in our community. As we go after this as far as, it builds an expectation to grow beyond the point that we find ourselves currently in, becoming more like Christ. It shapes our hopes, takes us beyond what we can see in the natural. And actually, the reality is, if we try and work some of these things out from the natural, they won't make sense, will they? Because it's about the things unseen sometimes, isn't it? Remember, we talk about faith here. It leaves us longing to be filled with the very fullness of God. Do you know, I feel, I'm not saying it feels like it is. We are in one of these as far as moments as a church. We are. You know, we are taking a step into something that we haven't got all the answers. And it's hard to imagine. We're in an as far as moment. We haven't heard anything from Aldi's yet, or the people who are selling it, we haven't heard. But like the Israelites there, we are sensing a word, we have a promise, and we are willing and daring to step out on this journey, are we not? We've got this weird interest over a whole number of years in a building. Doesn't make sense. 10 years ago, stood in the queue saying, I could put the stage there. You know, we could have that. The place had been open 5 minutes. We've got a prophetic word over our church that we can expect greater things. We can expect to see him move in power, the wind of his spirit blowing through our church like that, a ship with a huge sail. Do you remember? I haven't let go of that word. I won't let go of that word. And we've got an ambition for the kingdom. And that is high on our priorities. The kingdom of God come. We want to see his rule and reign increase. But at the same time, we only want to go where he is leading us. And if he goes before, then we go, yeah? I have to say, this is stretching us. Even now, we don't even know what the outcome is, and it's stretching us. If we're successful, it will stretch us. It will demand much from us. And that's why I'm glad that today God has put this word before us. He wants us to think and meditate and reflect on the power and the importance of faith, because faith is always needed to take the step of the as far as. Yeah? Am I making sense? I think this is a timely word. And I have to say, I'll come on to the, you know, it's been quite challenging this week. As I try and work it all out in my head, and I haven't got the answers. So for God to put this word before us and make me meditate on it, that's been good. And it makes us reflect and focus on it too. Because faith, by its nature, will always explore the more of God. Not just for us as a church, but for you as an individual, as us as individual. Faith will always make us explore the more of God. You know, I listed all those things that make us and challenge us to think about how we can go beyond the point, to go as far as God would want us to go. And faith will always lead us into that. Take us from where we are into the expanse of the as far as. I want to say this. Regardless, we're talking about the Aldi's. And you know, apply it to your own situation. Regardless of what the outcome of this is, and I do hope and pray that you know, it feels like this is God's plan and purpose for us. Okay? But if it doesn't work out, I believe that God is pleased with us because we are putting our faith on the line. And what it says there in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. I believe that God is smiling on us because we are taking this step of faith. We are putting ourselves in a position where we are being stretched. And that pleases him. Listen, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What we have in the rest of Hebrews 11 is a whole number of people who've done this, who have sought God and are being commended for their faith. And this goes right the way through into chapter 12. And actually at the beginning of chapter 12, it talks about this great cloud of witnesses. Like, you know, they're cheering us on. They've gone before and they're cheering us on. And who is the chief cheer? Cheerleader, whatever, you know, who is the chief, the one right at the front? Jesus himself. And he's there saying, come on. Come on. Now, we don't have time to look at all those people in detail, but I'm so encouraged as I look at them, those heroes of the faith, because each and every one had their shaky moments, didn't they? Each and every one had their wrong turns. Yet in this chapter, they were commended for their faith. Each of them had their own as far as to take hold of and to walk into. And that is what they're being remembered for. still today. And each of them had their frailties and their failings, things that could and at times did get in the way of the step that God was calling them to take. Friends, we have our as far as is, if that makes sense, don't we? We have one as a church that we are embracing and walking into right now, but individually, there is the more of God, places that he wants to take you, the things that will build us up, that will bless us, and that will build his kingdom in us and through us. We've all got them. But at the same time, you know, we've also got our frailties, haven't we? And our failings, things that can very easily hold us back as we seek to go forward into this. And for a moment or two, I've just got a few phrases to pick up from the lives of some of those people that are mentioned in that hall of heroes of faith. And I hope that it will help us, give us strategies to cope, but also encourage us that we're in good company. Yeah? So the first phrase that can easily come into our hearts and into our minds as we start to step into the as far as that God has for us is this. What if? You know, the what if question is often the 3 o'clock in the morning question, isn't it? What if it doesn't work out? What if that doesn't happen? What if we don't raise enough money? What if, what if, what if? Let me read from Exodus 4. Moses had just received his as far as. He was to lead the people out of slavery into the land that God had promised them. Moses' response? First two words. What if they do not believe me or listen to me as I say? What if they say the Lord did not appear to you? As I said, this is a 3 o'clock in the morning question. I confess, I've had a few 3 o'clock in the morning moments over the last few weeks as we've gone through this process. And I've had to guard my heart. Do you think about 3 o'clock in the morning? It's the loneliest time, isn't it? Whether you live on your own or whether you have a house full of people, that 3 o'clock in the morning moment is the loneliest time. You can find yourself asking, what if? What if it goes wrong? What if this or that doesn't happen? What if that does happen? You know, we're not talking here about careful and prayerful and rational consideration of the different variables that require some thought. We've got to do that. We've got to do that. This is those moments. And the question that comes, and it's often driven by fear, isn't it? It's often driven by fear. And it can lead us to this word, this thing called catastrophizing, where if we don't stop, if we don't shut the door on it, we open the door on it, and it takes it forward, and what happens is, before we know it, the world is coming to an end. And it's driven by fear. And it roots us in the natural and the negative, and it pollutes us and can paralyze us as we seek to take hold of all that God has for us. So that's the first question. What if? Second question. Why me? another hero from that Hebrews 11 is Gideon. Gideon is described as the great leader of Israel, winning a decisive victory over the Midianites' army. Despite the vast numerical disadvantage, he led a troop, a valiant troop of 300 men against a vast army. Let me read to you the words that Gideon says to God at this point where he's given his as far as. He says, "Pardon me." I love that. "Pardon me, Lord." Gideon replied, "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Gideon feels inadequate, and he focuses on his weakness in that moment. I think in that moment, he's got a choice to make. And it's a choice that's driven by shame, or it's a choice that's driven by faith. So if he chooses to be driven by shame, the voice comes and says, "Who do you think you are?" "What gives you the right? Aren't you the one who?" And this causes us to hide. And that's what shame does. It makes us hide away. It makes us hide the things that, you know, we're kind of embarrassed about. We don't want people to see. Shame creates this barrier, this mask, and it can hinder us, and it can hold us back and stop us going into the as far as of, that God has for us. So we can be driven by shame, or we can be driven by faith. And what faith does, and I'm not going to talk too much about this, but faith acknowledges before God, as Paul does in 2 Corinthians 12. Let me read this to you. Listen to this. As we step out on this journey, us as a church, and whatever journeys you need to go on, "My grace is sufficient for you." My grace, divine favor, undeserved, enabling, the divine enabling, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." My power is made perfect in weakness. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ may rest on me." It's got to be God, hasn't it? Because if we had £1 million in the bank, part of me wants to say, "Wouldn't it be lovely?" But if we had £1 million in the bank and it was as easy as that. No, God wants us to step out in faith here. So that's the second question. Why me? So this one's driven by fear. This one's driven by shame. Final question. If only. If only. There's a group of people that's mentioned in this, you know, the faith, the heroes of faith. And it was the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. And they're mentioned there. It says, "By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. And they ended up roaming round in the wilderness, and they were, it's fair to say, given to a bit of moaning, weren't they?" And what's the one thing they used to moan about quite a lot? Food. I get it. Exodus 16. "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. You know, because of the uncertainties around this, because we don't have all the answers around the as far as that God has for us, and because they had that they had for them, you know, they're entering into what they do not know is outside of their framework of experience. They couldn't see it. So what happens? They want to go back. They want to go back to what they knew and the familiarity that that gave them, even though that was not God's best for them. For them, it was miserable. But because of the uncertainty about this, they wanted to go back to what they knew. You know, this week, some of us saw this quote. It was a Nikki Gumbel quote. And it said this: until God opens the door, praise him in the hallway. Okay, we are going to praise him in a bit. All right, that's going to be, I know I'm talking for a long time, but we are going to spend a good chunk of time praising him today, because we are in the hallway and we need to praise him. There's another quote that I thought about responding to this one. It's another quote that I heard and remembered a few years ago. And it's this: do you know, it's hell in the hallway. It's hell in the hallway. And what the guy was saying is that the hallway is a hard place. It's the in-between place. It's the interconnecting place. You've left one room with all its familiarities and all that you know, and you're on the way into this other that you haven't got a clue, because you've never been there before. And that's why it's hell in the hallway. It's hard in the hallway. It's the place where we find ourselves asking these questions: what if? Why me? And if only. We've got to really watch these, because they can open the door on stuff that will hold us back and potentially stop us going through into all that God has for us, the as far as. But one point that I want to make, and I've forgotten to make it earlier, but it links with this. It's about where we've been and where we're going. And there's something about us comprehending. And there's something, and the other thing is about taking hold of. We can comprehend this in our minds. We can give, you know, we can speak it. And I'm conscious that we've been doing that for a long time, a lot of years as a church. You know, talking about the more that God has for us. And we have to move from speaking about it to apprehending it. We have to go from it being an idea to a reality. Because faith doesn't let us do anything other than that. It will always lead us into the as far as that God has for us. This, I say this to finish. The question that I think we need to be asking ourselves is not why, what if, is not why me, is not if only. The question I want us to be asking the Lord, and not just about where we're at as a church, each and every one of us, whatever our situation or circumstance, is this: Lord, how far do you want me to go? How far do you want me to go? And the answer to that question will be always be this: as far as. So we're going to pray. And we're going to worship online. I'd really encourage you to use the live feed as we pray and as we worship together now. We're going to spend a good chunk of time in worship together, because I think Nicky Gumbel's right. When we find ourselves in the hallway and the door is not yet open, we need to worship. We need to pray. We need to declare who God is. Not that he doesn't know who he is, but you know, when we sing about who he is, what happens? Holy Spirit starts to testify to our spirits the reality and the truth of who God is. Does that make sense? When we start to give word to it, it becomes a reality to us.